Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The American Way of Killing by Malcolm Gladwell is best approached as a work of contemporary nonfiction concerned with how the United States understands, organizes, and justifies lethal force, because the title is not as widely documented as Gladwell's major trade books. A careful reading should avoid assuming a detailed chapter structure beyond its evident subject, the relationship between American institutions, military technique, and moral reasoning about violence. In keeping with Gladwell's broader nonfiction style, the book appears positioned to examine large public questions through accessible argument rather than specialist military theory. Its purpose is not simply to describe killing as an act, but to consider the systems that make killing administratively possible, technologically distant, and politically defensible. And, the central interest lies in how a nation's methods of violence reflect its values, anxieties, and assumptions about efficiency, responsibility, and control. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, lethal force as a system, rather than an isolated act. A central way to understand the American way of killing is through its likely emphasis on killing as an organized institutional process. The title points away from individual violence and toward a national method, meaning that decisions about death are shaped by command structures, legal categories, technology, training, and political language. This distinction matters because modern state violence rarely appears as a single person's immediate choice. It is distributed across planners, operators, analysts, manufacturers, elected officials, and public narratives. By treating killing as a system, the book invites readers to examine how responsibility can become fragmented. No one actor may feel fully accountable, even though the outcome is direct and irreversible. This theme also fits Gladwell's recurring interest in how ordinary decisions are transformed by institutional design. The important question is not only whether force is justified in a given case, but how procedures make some forms of killing seem routine, clean, or necessary. That approach shifts the discussion from battlefield drama to the less visible machinery that turns violence into policy. Secondly, the promise and limits of technological distance. The book's subject naturally raises the issue of technological distance in modern American violence. Contemporary killing is often mediated through aircraft, targeting systems, surveillance tools, drones, and other technologies that separate the decision maker from the body of the victim. This distance can be presented as a moral improvement because it may reduce risk to American personnel and allow more precise targeting. At the same time, distance can change perception. When violence is filtered through screens, maps, intelligence summaries, and operational language, the human reality of death can become abstract. The key tension is that precision technology does not automatically produce moral clarity. It may improve accuracy in some circumstances, while also making the use of force easier to authorize. A serious analysis of the American way of killing, therefore, must consider both capability and psychology. The central issue is not whether technology is good or bad, but how tools alter thresholds, incentives, and the emotional experience of responsibility. Thirdly, precision as both military ideal and moral argument. One of the most important themes connected to American military power is the ideal of precision. Precision promises that violence can be targeted, limited, and rationally controlled. It allows political leaders and military institutions to argue that force is not indiscriminate, but disciplined and proportionate. The American way of killing can be read in relation to this claim that a technologically advanced nation can kill while minimizing unintended harm. The analytical problem is that precision is not only a technical category, it is also a moral and political language. A weapon can be more accurate than an earlier weapon and still produce civilian death, strategic failure, or ethical ambiguity. Intelligence can be incomplete, environments can be misunderstood, and the meaning of a target can be contested. The book's value lies in pressing readers to separate the accuracy of a mechanism from the justice of the mission. Precision may reduce certain forms of harm, but it cannot by itself answer whether lethal force should be used. Fourthly, the bureaucratic language that normalizes violence, modern killing by states is often accompanied by technical, legal, and managerial language. Terms related to targets, operations, collateral effects, proportionality, and national security can make lethal action sound procedural rather than human. The American way of killing is likely concerned with this transformation of violence into administrative speech. Such language has practical uses. Institutions need categories to plan, review, and limit force, yet it can also create moral insulation. When death is described primarily through operational vocabulary, the emotional and ethical force of the act is reduced. This does not mean that all official language is deceptive, but it does mean that language can shape public tolerance. If violence is framed as efficient problem solving, citizens may focus on competence rather than consequence. A careful treatment of this topic asks readers to listen to the words surrounding state violence. The way killing is named affects how it is judged, remembered, and either challenged or accepted. Lastly, public consent and the invisibility of distant war. A distinctive issue in American uses of force is the relationship between public consent and distance from the battlefield. Many forms of modern military action occur far from everyday civilian life, often without mass mobilization, conscription, or sustained public sacrifice. This separation can weaken democratic scrutiny. If war is fought by a professional military, contractors, intelligence agencies, and remote systems, citizens may experience lethal policy mainly as news fragments or political rhetoric. The American way of killing, therefore, points toward a civic problem as much as a military one. A democracy must decide how much visibility, debate, and accountability should accompany the state's power to kill. The danger is not only secrecy, but habituation force can become background policy. This theme gives the book broader relevance beyond military history. It asks how a society maintains ethical seriousness when the costs of violence are unevenly distributed and often hidden from those in whose name it is carried out. In conclusion, The American Way of Killing is most suitable for readers interested in the ethics of war, American power, military technology, and the language of public policy. It should also appeal to readers of Malcolm Gladwell, who value accessible nonfiction that turns institutional behavior into a subject for moral and practical inquiry. The intellectual benefit of the book lies in its likely insistence that killing by a modern state cannot be understood only through individual bravery, tactical success, or political necessity. It must also be understood through systems, incentives, vocabulary, and distance, compared with conventional military histories. The book appears less focused on campaign chronology and more focused on the habits of thought that make certain forms of violence acceptable. Compared with abstract ethical theory, it is likely more readable and grounded in public questions about how institutions operate. Its distinguishing value is this combination it treats, killing not as an exception to modern organization, but as something modern organization can make orderly, technical, and easier to overlook. Readers seeking a purely operational account of battles may need another book, but readers seeking a critical framework for thinking about American lethal power will find the subject intellectually useful. If you would like to support Malcolm Gladwell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.